Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest. You've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil. Maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, got the NBA draft tonight. We've been talking a lot about the Wizards throughout the show. If you missed our mock draft, you can grab the podcast wherever you download your podcast. Just search the term Sports Junkies and you will get the podcast. Going to keep talking some Wizards and NBA in general with our next guest who joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Keith Smith, NBA writer for Spot Rack. What's going on, Keith?
Hold on 1 second.
A lot.
I know, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
There's a lot.
Yeah, it's the best time of year right now for transaction junkies and cap heads like me.
Yeah, so for Wizards fans, the team has been going through a rebuild the last couple of years. And, you know, they acquired Jordan Poole, and everybody knew that he wasn't going to be part of their future. But explain why they would trade Jordan Poole for C.J. McCollum.
Yeah, in that deal, because Poole and Sadiq Bey both have contracts that extend into next season, and C.J. McCollum and Kelly Olynyk do not, for completely off-the-court reasons related to the salary cap, Washington now can clear in excess of $100 million in cap space next offseason. So a year from now, much like how people have been talking about the Brooklyn Nets and all their cap space this summer, we'll be talking about Washington and double what the Nets have in cap space potentially. They will be in a spot where very realistically the only player under contract not on a rookie deal would be Corey Kispert, which is just, that's incredible considering where this team was just a couple years ago, where it looked like it was going to take a long time to dig out from under the mess of some of the contracts that they had on the books.
So do you foresee them making even more moves, maybe even trying to trade off someone like McCollum to gain draft picks just to get rid of that money?
Yeah, I think so. I think what you're going to see them do is continue this roster shuffling. I personally really appreciate how transparent and candid the Wizards' current front office has been. This is going to take time, and it's going to take a little bit of time for us to sort this out and rebuild, but that group has heavy ties to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we saw what the Thunder were able to do. Now, I'm not going to set that as the bar because that would be ridiculous, but you're trying to set yourself up for having options, and if you nail some of these draft picks, and I think they're on their way there, all of a sudden, things start looking pretty good for a team that was stuck in the middle for decades. And now, at least they have a very clear direction. But yeah, I think there's a good chance guys like Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart, acquired last year, C.J. McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, they might be on the move again. I'm not going to say right now this summer, but maybe by the trade deadline. And the best thing for Washington is at that point, you might have got some draft assets for them coming in, and you may get some further draft assets for them coming out, which again is another page right out of the Thunder playbook.
Yeah, it's kind of funny when you look at their roster. I mean, if they don't make moves and trade some of these veterans, they've got a kind of interesting mix of proven veterans making a bunch of money coupled with a bunch of young guys, like you mentioned, like the Sars and the Koulibaly's and now Bob Carrington and guys like that. So if they don't sell off some of these pieces, you know, if Middleton and McCollum and Smart stay healthy, I'm not going to say they're going to be a playoff team, but I think they're going to win a lot more games than they did last year.
I completely agree with that. And I think a big part of where teams can get a rebuild wrong is when they just go fully young and they hand the team over to a whole bunch of guys who are 20 to 22 years old that don't really they haven't experienced much life, and they certainly haven't experienced a lot of life in the NBA. Having guys like Smart, McCollum, Middleton, and Olynyk is just going to help keep the Wizards organized. It's kind of like having Malcolm Brogdon last year was able to just kind of get guys in the right places. That helps young players. Valanciunas, you know, I am sure the time he spent with Sarr helped Sarr level up quickly because it was a chance of, hey, let's, you know, work on this, you know, and you don't want to do this way. And that can be both on and off court. And those are big things. Now, the key is you don't want to turn the team fully over to the vets and forget the kids. And I thought they did a really good job of balancing that last year, making sure, hey, the kids are our future. They're going to play and play plenty. I like to say, you know, the Wizards last year, they didn't tank. They were just naturally bad because they played a lot of young guys, and that's okay, right? That's not the end of the world. I've heard from more Wizards fans in the past year that were like, hey, I had more fun watching a team that at least is trying to do something than this team that was stuck in the middle forever. So I think they're, you know, very much on the right track.
All right, so speaking of stuck in the middle, they're frustrated, the Wizards fans, that we, you know, didn't get higher in the lottery. We end up, I think, with a worst outcome, getting six. But you know, I'll be honest, having not watched as much college basketball these last few years, you know, it's hard for me to watch even the NBA at times, you know, when my team is struggling so much. I finally went through and started looking at these guys. I think you can get a good player at six. I mean, I've been kind of surprised. It's way deeper than just Cooper Flagg. You may or may not agree, but the one thing that's really going crazy is this Ace Bailey drop where he's not working out with people. Like, is he getting bad advice? Is he a bad guy? Has he gotten assurances he's going to go somewhere? What's going on with Ace Bailey? Because his talent seems to jump through the roof to me.
Yeah, I'll let you know in about 12-ish hours, I think, when, you know, when we see it play out. But, you know, my thought on it is I can tell you 100% he's not a bad kid.
Right.
He's a really good kid. He's a little immature, but he's 19, right? I mean,
God forbid
anybody knows what I was like at 19.
Yeah.
So, you know, with him, I'm not worried about that part at all. I'm also not worried about the skills. I think Ace Bailey, he came into this draft cycle. If we go back even like 2 years ago when these guys were finishing high school, and there were people who were saying he might push Cooper Flagg near the top of the draft. Now, it hasn't played out that way because Flagg has set himself apart as a generational type of prospect. Mm-hmm. And then Dylan Harper moved past Bailey as well. But I've still got Bailey third on my board. But there are teams that are like, yeah, the fit's a little weird. This whole won't work out, won't even meet with teams. You know, his combine interviews are a little weird. I think this is the classic, we're trying to engineer a destination here and find a place that's really going to work for us. Now, we'll find out if it works or not. I've heard Washington is a team he's okay with. I've heard Brooklyn is there. The Nets now have 5 picks in this first round, so they're certainly going to be moving around on the board, and they may try to go up and get him, but that's going to be the story to watch. The first 2 picks, we all know, we could start the draft at 3 and just say, hey, Flagg and Harper are already off the board, and everybody would know it. And then we'll see where it goes with Ace Bailey and the Sixers at 3, because things are going to get weird starting there.
Do you have a sense that the interest is mutual from the Wizards? Do you have any sense at all?
Yeah, I've heard that they like him. I've heard that they see him as different from their other guys and able to fit in alongside the other young guys that they have. What they don't have in that group is somebody who can really go get his own buckets. Right now, Buck Carrington maybe gets there. We'll see what that looks like. But the rest of the guys are a little bit more dependent players. Bilal Coulibaly improved quite a bit, but he's still a guy who is more of a system transition player. He will improve more, you know, in his on-ball creation ability as he ages. But Ace Bailey can come in day one. I'm not saying he's going to come in and be super efficient, because very few rookies are. But his best ability is his ability to go get baskets. And I've heard that the Wizards like that and like that fit alongside the rest of that young core.
All right, so let's go around the league as we talk to Keith Smith, NBA writer for Spot Rock. Celtics win an NBA Finals, and this year Jason Tatum gets hurt in the playoffs. Obviously, they don't win. They're shaking it up. Porzingis gets dealt to Atlanta. Drew Holiday goes to Portland. What are the Celtics looking to do?
Yeah, so the minute they lost, that changed everything. And then when Jason Tatum went down, that you know, only changed it further. I've long held that if they were coming off back-to-back championships, they'd run it back, write a really big check to the rest of the league for luxury tax penalties, because you're not breaking up a title team like that, especially not as a new ownership group coming in. The fans would, you know, pillory them right immediately if they did that. So now, though, they have, and this isn't the exact right word to use, they have a little bit of cover to start this process of getting under the second apron. You're going to hear that term used a lot here over the next few weeks. As, you know, that second apron restrictions, they are so tough on you to build out your roster. You're pretty much limited to, you know, very minor trades, signing guys to minimum contracts and signing your own free agents and draft picks, and that's about it. You can't really do anything else. In addition, Boston, because they were over the second apron the last two seasons, already saw their 2032 draft pick get frozen, which means they can't trade it, and it gets moved to the end of the first round if they don't get out of the second apron 3 or 4 years before that. So they've begun what I call the thawing process for that pick. They're under the second apron now. They're resetting, but they have no intentions of tearing this thing down to the bottom and trading Jaylen Brown and Derek White. They're listening. If some team wants to bowl them over with a really ridiculous offer, and the way things are going, who knows? I'm not going to rule it out, but their intentions are to keep those guys. They feel like they got some helpful players and a, you know, very, very needed flexibility with their team, and that's what they're going to move forward with now.
All right, I'm interested in what the Lakers might be able to do. They, of course, traded for Luka Doncic, got bounced out in the first round of the playoffs. What can they do in the offseason to get to another level?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, another super expensive team. They're not quite at that second apron level, but they're not far away from that. Some of that's dependent on what happens with LeBron James and Dorian Finney-Smith, but all indications are they're going to retain those guys. LeBron will be around a max deal. Finney-Smith will be, you know, probably $15 million or so range. That leaves them with a little bit of flexibility to use the smaller mid-level exception, which is about $5.7 million, and then that can put them in a spot to go after a center. They need center depth in the worst way. They don't really have one on the roster right now that they trust. They know that's something Luka excels with. If he can play with a rim-running, lob-catching center, that's huge for them. So they're going to be involved on probably guys like Clint Capella. You'll hear them mentioned in trade rumors for anybody who makes, let's call it, $25 million or less that plays the center position. They'll probably be engaged with those guys. So it's that's their priority. And then from there, it's rounding out the depth around what is a pretty good core group in L.A., led by LeBron and Luka.
All right, before we let you go, your take on the Durant to Houston deal. I questioned it just because you're giving up young players/stars like Jalen Green plus all those draft picks. So essentially you're trading 8 players for one who's 36, who's already had injuries. Your take on the deal.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about the second round picks. That was more just Phoenix needs any form of draft capital because they've traded everything else under the sun that they could, no pun intended, there. Mm-hmm. So they are really in a spot where they needed the draft capital. Jalen Green, good player. On the right night, looks like he's an all-star, all-NBA guy. On the wrong night, he looks like he's a backup who, you know, should play 15 minutes a night off the bench. He's just wildly inconsistent. And he really struggled in the postseason, especially when the Rockets needed somebody to go get a bucket. That's what Kevin Durant's going to give him. I'm with you. I don't know that it's the move I would have made, but I get why they did it. They saw how badly they struggled in the first round loss. They don't want to be in that position again. And if they think Kevin Durant can get, stay healthy, and most importantly, stay happy, because there's usually about a one-year clock on that for him in a destination, then the Rockets are going to be really good. They've got enough left in reserve to round out that roster nicely. They still have a bunch of extra draft picks coming their way, so I'm not too worried about giving up the 10th pick. So they're in pretty good shape, I think, moving forward, as long as Kevin Durant is healthy and happy there.
Keith, good stuff. Hopefully we'll talk to you again. It's Keith Smith, NBA writer for Spot Rack. Thanks, pal.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Of course, if you missed our mock draft and who EB selected with the 6th pick, grab the podcast. Wherever you download your podcast, just search the Sports Junkies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.